We are going through the Gospel of Matthew, so everyone, if you could, please open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verses 13 to 17, and I want to say Happy New Year to all of you at Common Ground Church here this morning. I also want to say thank you for those that, if you noticed, all of our decorations are been taken down, and all those that worked so hard yesterday to do so, I thank you for that as well. I appreciate that. And you know who you are. Oh yeah, my socks today. I don't know what week I'm on here, but I got 27 weeks of socks. So it's footballs and football helmets today. Somewhat appropriate. Somewhat. All right. Chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, it's the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to stop him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me? Jesus answered him, allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John allowed him to be baptized. When Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Let's pray. Blessed Father God, hear are our prayers this morning. Next, instead, he's convinced that he needs to be baptized by Christ, which again points to John's humility and place before such a holy living Lord that stands before him. In the Gospel of John, if we read that account about the version of the baptism, John knows these certain things about Jesus, and he says, and you know this text, you know this verse, behold what? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the what? The sin of the world. John knows that it's only going to be a perfect, spotless lamb. Only a perfect, spotless lamb could be used in the sacrifice for sins. Thus Jesus is this perfect, unblemished, spotless lamb who will one day in history become that atoning sacrifice, nailed to a gruesome cross for your and my sins. Which brings up another set of questions. Why did Jesus need to be baptized? For what purpose did Jesus' baptism serve? John, we know, is preaching and baptizing. He's basically preaching a gospel of repentance. Then why would Jesus need to be baptized? He didn't sin. Therefore, he didn't need to repent. So why would Jesus find it necessary to be baptized? We discover the answer in verse 15. Jesus gives to us the ground and reason for his baptism. This is a massive point that Jesus is making here. For in this answer that Jesus declares, he is telling us much about himself. He says this, allow it to be so, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness. That statement alone is filled with tremendous theology, profound doctrine, staggering truth. What is the righteousness that is being fulfilled? And it says all righteousness. First off, Jesus was and is and forever perfectly righteous, completely righteous. You can't subtract or add to Jesus' righteousness. Thus, it can't mean that Jesus' righteousness needed to be fulfilled. So what is this all righteousness in this text that is needing to be fulfilled here? And furthermore, take note of the tiny two-letter word that's found in your Bibles. U-S. Us. Who is the us in this sentence? The context would say that the us is both referring to both John and Jesus himself. So how do the two of them fulfill all righteousness? When John the Baptist arrives on the scene, God was bringing forth a new requirement of his law. That goes beyond the requirements that he gave through Moses and the prophets of the Old Testament. And that new requirement imposed upon all of Israel is that they were to be baptized unto repentance in preparation for the coming of the kingdom of God. And by the way, if you didn't